This is Pat Tomlinson with Ag Spectrum. I'm talking with Dr. Brian Gardner, Technical Director for Ag Spectrum. Dr. Gardner is working in his home office near Columbus, Ohio. How are you doing today, Brian?
Doing great. The storms blew through last night, and once things dry out, I think the temperatures here in central Ohio are going to be great for planting, and I think people are thinking about that all throughout the Midwest.
Well, that's a pretty good transition into what our topic for today is, and what I want to talk to you about is something that can be one of the most challenging springtime decisions for growers, and that's when do I start planting? They try to evaluate the day-to-day status of soil temperature and conditions, weather forecasts, calendar date, and usually a few other factors that maybe shouldn't be in the mix but are tough to ignore. Things like neighbors' field activities or calls from landowners asking about planting progress. One thing that I think can help minimize the stress of making the decision to pull this trigger and start planting is knowing that you are prepared to go to the field in every other way and that the only thing you have to focus on is making the right call on field conditions. What should a farmer be focused on in the days and weeks before planting to be in that position?
Well, before planting, one really needs to have a comprehensive plan in place. You need to know the who, what, where, when, and how of that plan. And you should also have some backup plans based on the typical what-if scenarios of things that happen in your area. Does it tend to get too wet, too warm, too cold, etc.? You know, at this point, equipment should be fully checked and ready to go. Seed, fertilizer, and other inputs are either on their way or on site, and all those materials should be properly stored and organized for timely application. But I think most importantly, the farmer and his crew should have reviewed their detailed plan for pre, at, and post-planting operations. By doing that, they're ready to go when the conditions are right. And it's also good to review the most likely challenges for implementing that plan and how those challenges are going to be overcome. You know, whether it's untimely weather or unexpected equipment breakdown, knowing how one wants to respond before the issue arises can be helpful in assuring that the challenge is met effectively and in a timely way.
Well, that all certainly makes sense. So when the preparations are made, equipment is ready, plans are reviewed, and the only thing left to make the call on is soil conditions, what should that decision process on determining acceptable planting conditions look like?
Well, first and foremost, planting into soils that are too cool and too wet should be avoided. You know, seeds are alive and need a balanced amount of heat, moisture, and air to germinate efficiently. Planting when soil temps are above 50 degrees Fahrenheit is generally recommended, but soil temps of 60 or above are better, especially if soil moisture is at a good planting depth. Most importantly, avoid planting when soil conditions are too wet, because no one wants to get stuck, they don't want to drown good quality seed in mud, or even create yield-limiting sidewall compaction. Now, we can't predict the weather, but we can assess our actual planting window, and that assessment can be reasonably based on multi-year averages of precipitation, frost-free dates, and also the hybrid variety selections that are made. You know, it's good to know the outer bounds of one's actual planting windows for the growing season, because this will vary by farm, and knowing that window will allow you to have the wiggle room necessary for making adjustments when the weather doesn't pan out.
The temptation is always there to compromise on some factors when your targeted planting date is in the rearview mirror and you're starting to feel pressure as the dates on the calendar keep moving lower down the page or even flips over and starts on a new page. You know there are a lot of acres that remain to be planted, and that creates a lot of pressure. For example, we know soil temp is a common metric used in the spring, probably because it can be pretty objectively measured. It seems to be generally accepted that at some point in the spring we should ignore or at least put less weight on the soil temperature since we know it will warm up soon and an extended cool period is significantly less likely than earlier in the spring. Do you agree with this thinking on soil temperature?
Pretty much, since once average daily temperatures are likely to stay above that 50 to 60 degree range, one need only consider the risk of post-planting flooding, post-emergent frost or drought, and one's impatience, all of which can prevent early season success. You know, the key point to remember is that the risk of early crop stressors will vary by geography, and those risks are really greater for younger and newer farmers, because years of experience in place, and of course good note-taking, are the best guide as to the relative magnitude of the different risks that one faces after soils warm up.
An approach that's become more common in recent years, and I think it was first applied to planting dates, is that you have to compromise some and go early on the first acres you plant, because if you wait until the ideal date to start, you're pushing your last acres planted too late, and you're likely to lose more on those acres from late planting than you gain on the first acres by hitting the expected sweet spot. I do think that today most growers are a little more focused on soil conditions versus calendar dates than they used to be, and that's a good thing. However, sometimes this type of thinking may have creeped into our assessment of the factors that should be driving the decision to start. Is there a danger to let this type of thinking cause you to compromise on optimal soil conditions as we get deeper into the spring season with a good share of planting still ahead of us?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, when one considers what a farmer can actually control, they should be focusing on avoiding stress and avoiding creating unnecessary stresses that are going to hurt them later in the season. You know, plants are resilient, but young plants are most likely to be damaged by ill-timed operations. And most importantly, planting too wet is a guaranteed way to limit yield potential, probably even more so than planting too cold or too early or getting caught by a late spring frost. Sometimes there are areas where the most common stress is actually losing access to late season moisture and at the time of pollination, and that can be very important in choosing one's hybrid to match one's growing season. And that's why, again, it's important to pay attention to your actual planting window.
There seems to be more variability than ever before in the tillage systems that growers are employing. Conventional tillage, minimum tillage, no-till, strip-till. Even though the seed doesn't know about the tillage system that it's in, are there different approaches on making the decision on soil conditions that may make more or less sense in these different systems?
Absolutely, but the key point to remember is that optimizing soil moisture at the time of planting to avoid sidewall compaction is the most critical feature to focus on. Low and minimum till systems tend to stay wetter and cooler longer, but the benefits of retaining residues in those systems makes them generally more productive over the whole season in most locations. Strip till, which has become very popular recently in a lot of areas, disturbs up to a third of the surface soil area, and that can dry out the furrow a bit, so it's most usefully applied in heavier soils that tend to stay too wet through late May or longer.
You bring up sidewall compaction in the seed trench. That is, I think, generally recognized as one of the most common red flags that do impose a penalty on the crop. We know it can negatively impact root growth, and of course that in and of itself will impact the plant's ability to acquire nutrition. Are there other ways that sidewall compaction can affect soil dynamics, specifically microbial activity or nutrient availability to the seed or seedling?
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, sidewall compaction limits the flow of both air and water into the seed trench, and this forces the seedling to divert ever more of its energy reserves to roots to expand, and this will delay emergence and reduce early season vigor. But it's the lasting effects of sidewall compaction that are even more important to yields, as the difference in bulk density reduces root function in the central crown, delays the formation of the function of beneficial symbioses like those with mycorrhizae and root nodulating rhizobia, and it reduces the amount of nutrient cycling in the row that is achieved by soil microbes. That is why it is so very important not to plant when soil conditions are too wet.
We usually seem to focus on corn in our early planting discussions. I did see some bean planters rolling in central Illinois on March 30th, and I'm sure there were some beans going into the ground in other areas also. What do you think of the increasing acceptance of planting soybeans before corn, or if there are two planters in the operation at the same time? What differences are there in how a grower should evaluate conditions to determine when he should start planting soybeans?
Well, I think the first thing to remember is that each farmer's situation is different, so planting order should differ amongst locations, even among neighbors. First, one needs to look at one's own net returns per acre for each crop before deciding what to plant first on any given soil type. And just as importantly, I think every operation has to consider soil conditions of the different fields and soil types on their operation before deciding where to plant first. You know, in most years and most locations, soybeans net a bit less per acre than corn, so minimizing risk to maximize corn yields often takes precedence in the planting order. However, on some farms, earlier or later planting of soybeans has a real advantage, sometimes in increased crop yields potential, but just as often in the implementation success, which can often net as much or more for the farmer at the end of the season than those few bushels. Remember, implementation is so important to one's success and maximizing net returns.
Well, thanks for visiting with us today, Brian. You've been generous with your time, and you've given us some good ideas that I think can help our associates and their customers as we approach the 2023 planting season. As always, we appreciate everything you do, and I hope you have a great spring.
Well, thank you very much, and great success to you in 2023.